Well, we're going to change the hotline now as part of our trilogy. A couple days ago, I was driving home, and I got to tell you, this was a scary moment for me because as I was stopped at a light, I'm looking down the street. It's pitch black out, you know, with a few little lights on the side. And I'm telling you, I thought I saw a body in the road. And it was a weird feeling. I mean, scary and eerie, scary in the fact that you found a body in the road. And as I got up there a little closer, I drove up to it. It was a blanket that was wrapped up, looked like it looked like a body. There was not a body in the blanket, but it was just a blanket out there on the road. But from a distance, it looked like somebody had gotten hit by a car. And somebody had left them there. I mean, that was scary. So anyway, I'm going to open up the scariest moment of your lifeline as we continue with our trilogy. That phone number for you is 818-817-0021. We have sprayed the bug bites, and we're not going to talk about bug bites anymore. But give me your scariest moment of your life, 818-817-0021. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. You can get us started this hour. Hi there. Aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. My name's Steve from Missouri.
Hey, Steve. Whereabouts?
Lake St. Louis right now.
Oh, yeah. Know it well.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to listen to you on KTRS. I'm listening on XM right now.
Okay. Good to have you with us.
Yeah. I was calling to tell you a story that I've tried getting through before and never had much luck. There was a church camp about, I don't know, probably 100 miles east of St. or west of St. Louis. And whenever I was about 15 years old, we had a week-long church camp. And, you know, I didn't really want to be there, but it's one of those things the parents kind of made us go. And
you got to go if the folks say you're going.
Yeah, and a friend of mine and myself were sitting in the back row. And we were the only two kids sitting in the back. And it's one of those things we tried to, you know, just buy our time so we could do the things afterwards. And we had a nighttime sermon one night, and we were sitting there listening, and there was nothing but an empty row of seats behind us, and the preacher was preaching. I don't even know what he was preaching about because I wasn't paying attention, and all of a sudden in the middle, a voice from behind us said, "Shut up with this Jesus stuff," and the preacher looked at me like I said it, and I was freaking out.
Yeah, you're looking around. Hey, not me.
Yeah, I pointed behind me, and I'm shaking my head no, and so then he had everybody bow their head and close their eyes, and he started praying. And, of course, I wasn't closing my eyes. I was looking around. And another preacher got up and started praying and walking toward the back of the church, and I saw the doors open before he got to the back of the church. And I was like, this, no, something. So then there's windows on the side, and I was looking out the windows, and we could see, my friend and myself, was able to see what looked like dead babies flying around the outside of the building. And you could hear like a howling noise. So I was, needless to say, I was scared to death. And most of the people there had no clue what was going on. So after this was over, I went to the guy that was praying that walked toward the back of the
yeah.
church before. And I cuddled up with him like he was my best friend. And I was asking him, you know, what's going on? And like, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you just don't understand. And you know, so he started kind of explaining some stuff to me. So I finally started calming down just a little bit, and we went outside, and there was an outdoor swimming pool with a fence. And he and myself were just sitting there up against the fence, and he was talking to me. And then all of a sudden, you could start hearing howling in the woods. There was just this crazy howling noise. And
could he hear that too?
Yeah, yeah, he heard. And he stood up, and he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that you show yourself." And about that time, I swear, it sounded like somebody dropped a car in the swimming pool. It was the biggest kaplunk you could have ever imagined. And water flew everywhere. And he just started praying and yelling things. And I had no clue what was going on. And then you could hear, like, wing noises flying through the trees. And that was my experience. And I didn't sleep for, like, I don't know, 4 days after that, 3 or 4 days.
What do you think was going on?
Well, he was telling me, you know, it's demonic. Something demonic's going on, and And I've had experiences since then where I've gone to a place up in Iowa, and I have respect for preachers. I'm not super religious, and I sat down with a preacher once, and he, you know, kind of told me that he wanted to talk to me and find out, because I was having a bunch of issues going on, and it was, I don't want to say an exorcism, because it wasn't an exorcism, but he prayed for me and everything, and I was sitting there listening, kind of scoffing to myself, like, you've got to be kidding, and then all of a sudden I heard a voice come from within myself, and I know I said it, and I couldn't control myself from saying it, but he said, you know, I don't even know what he was saying. And in the middle of his praying for me, I started in this voice that wasn't my own, and I couldn't control it, and there was nothing I could do. I said, I see what you're trying to do here. And he said, what is it I'm trying to do? And I said, you're trying to get inside. And I laughed at him, and that's all I remember from that experience.
Probably with one of those deep laughs, too. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Maybe you were possessed. Maybe you were still possessed when you were in that church and you heard all that howling. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
My name's Frank. I'm from San Diego, California.
Yeah.
And I was telling a story to your call taker there about we went on a call one night of a check the welfare, and the woman who had passed away in her apartment, and the way she had passed away was, it turns out to be natural death, but she, the way we found her, she was laying face down alongside of her bed. And per our protocol, we have to call for the coroner to come out and move the body and you know, do the investigation at that
point. Sure, just in case, right?
Yep, and so we're waiting. It takes a while for them to get out there sometimes. And the apartment that she had was a very nice apartment, and they have the windows that are with the big, they call them vertical blinds that just hang there. And outside the windows, it's, you know, kind of tropical. They have palm trees and stuff. And as we're standing there, my partner and I, and we're waiting for the coroner and what we call the body snatchers, the guys who come over and take the body to roll her over and check to see if there's any foul play or anything. The second they rolled her over, the instant they rolled her over, the vertical blinds behind us hit the window. As if a big breeze had blown them out. My partner looked at me, I looked at him, and we went over by the window, and you could see the palm trees out there, and, you know, palm trees, you can see any wind movement at all.
All right,
no
yeah.
movement whatsoever. And so it was just at that instant, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we said, no way. We looked over at the guys that come to take the body. There's one guy that almost looked like from a movie, heavyset guy, just disheveled, you know, one of the workers, the other one of the body snatchers, and eyes, you know, deep sockets on the eyes, and I said, did you see that? And he looked up at me and he said, what? I said, the screens or the blinds. And he says, oh yeah, it happens all the time. Dead. And you know, to that day, I said, okay. So my partner didn't believe it at first either, but that made a believer out of him. And I the only thing we came up to a conclusion is that it was her soul leaving that was trapped underneath
yeah.
her, and when they rolled her over, it was gone.
It was gone and just whooshed right through.
Just like that.
That's something. You police officer or EMT?
Police officer.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our scariest moment. Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi,
where are you calling from?
Ohio.
So what's so scary about this story?
I don't know if I can beat the guys before me, but God, long-time listener, I'm really shocked I got through. Many years, when I was a little kid, teenager,
sure.
We had horses, and we, you know, raised them for many years, and one had been sick early in the day, and my mom said, you need to go out and check, you know, Misty, she's sick. So, you know, I'm always mad at my mom because it's like 11 o'clock at night, you know, midnight almost. So I take the dog with me, and I get into the barn, I open up the barn doors, and I turn on the light, and the dog just nearly pulled my arm out of its socket, lunging towards the haymow, and out of the corner of my eye, there it sits, couldn't tell you what it was, on the edge of the haymow, and my heart just was pounding.
What do you think it was? What did it look like? Try to describe it.
It was dark figure. I mean, the lights at the barn were at the top of the barn shone on it, but it wasn't light, it was dark, and it was like a dark figure, and it was sitting kind of like hunched over in a hunched over sitting position looking at me and the dog. And I'm in a cold sweat now, and I'm like, okay, go check the horse. The dog is growling and lunging and everything, and all I could do was to, you know, maintain him, and I'm freaking out. I'm mad at my mom. The horse was fine. None of the horses were upset or disturbed or anything, and as soon as I got out of the barn, the dog tried to turn back into the barn, and I grabbed him, and I took off running. I tried to tell my mom. Of course, she told me I was crazy, and I'm to this day, it was the scariest moment of my life ever. I don't know what it was. It was dark. It was shadowy. It stared down at me. I thought at first it was a human, but it I don't know. And I was too afraid to really look at it.
I bet you're glad you've never seen it again.
Oh, my God, yes. So it was pretty frightening. It was the scariest moment of my life, and it stuck with me all these years.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the story. And that's this special hotline this hour. We'll have another one next hour. 818-817-0021, the scariest moment of your life. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hello, I'm on?
Yes, sir. It's all you.
Okay, yeah. Listen, I used to have arthritis really, really bad. So bad that it was getting progressively worse day by day. And then one day I woke up and I couldn't even move. Every step that I took when I went to the kitchen to get something to eat was getting more so painful that I had to take like baby steps. And I finally got a little food and I sat down and watched TV. And there was a program on TV called The Other Side. You know that program?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Okay, so I'm watching this program, The Other Side, and they had a healer. His name was Gina Didio. And so he's a faith healer, and he was healing somebody at that very moment. And I thought, you know, I've seen that when people press their hands up against the TV. So I said, what have I got to lose? I mean, I'm in so much pain. What can I do? So I slowly creeped up to the TV, and then I put my hands on the TV. I put my shoulders and my head and my whole body as right on hugging the TV. And then I begged him to heal me too. And then within about a minute or so, I started feeling warm. I started getting this warm feeling. And then after a while, I started feeling like peaceful, real, real peaceful feeling. And then all of a sudden, I noticed I wasn't really in pain. So then I said, hey. Then I started to like move around a little bit. And then I said, hey, I don't feel pain. And then I started to walk around, and I didn't feel any pain. Then pretty soon, I'm walking harder and harder. Then I'm jumping up and down, and I had absolutely no pain at all. And I've never had that arthritic pain again. So what I did is I called NBC Studios and I told them about it. I said, you know, that faith healer, he healed me through the TV. And he said, that's impossible. And I said, why? And they said, because he wasn't on live. It was just a tape. It was a videotape.
Well, but the energy, I guess, worked. You probably had enough faith and believed that it would happen. And, you know, if this person is real, maybe he's got some incredible amounts of energy that comes through, through television.
It brought to mind that thought that said, you know, your faith has healed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had millions.
Let me ask you something. Were you under a doctor's care for the arthritis?
I wasn't under a doctor's care, but I'll tell you what. The NBC studios, when I told them the story, I told them what happened, they whisked me out to NBC, and I came out on NBC on The Other Side, and I have a videotape of it.
Oh, what do you mean, the embassy? Locally or on a network show?
Right there at Burbank. I went to Burbank.
So you were on...
I was on The Other Side.
You were on Kate.
I forgot his name.
Oh, you were on that show?
I was on the show. Because when I told them what had happened, they couldn't believe it. So then they put me on the show. And I have the videotape of it. Anyway, I've had like hundreds and hundreds of psychic experiences just like that, which are even more interesting than that one. But we were talking about the scariest moment. I was scared that I said, oh, my God, I can't even walk anymore. And then that happened.
That's incredible.
Yeah, well, it happened.
All right, good for you. And you're okay now.
Oh, I'm perfect.
How old are you?
I am now 53.
53, no arthritis, no medicine, arthritis. Nothing.
Nothing.
Touch your toes, run around.
Anything. I'm just perfect.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate that. That is one heck of a story. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is Nick in Memphis.
Yeah, Nate.
It's an honor to talk to the master here.
Yeah, no, the junior master, Art Bell, is the real master.
Okay, Junior Master. I wanted to ask you about your chelation therapy.
I'm glad you brought that up because I just last week got retested on a new machine that looks at all your arteries in your system. It's called a 64 slice. Uh-huh. Now, back in November, I did it on the 16 slice, and my reading was 980, which is pretty high. A lot of calcium in your system. So I've been on the chelation program, and they gave me a 64 slice test, and the numbers were higher. And I'm going back next Friday, back on another 16 slice test, because the 64 is so sensitive. They have said, you know what? I don't think we can compare the two numbers. They're two different scores altogether. So I'm going to go back and look at the 16, compare that to the 980, and then we'll know exactly how this program's working on me. And,
okay.
I'll tell everybody what those numbers are.
Well, the reason I ask, I've got a brother-in-law in Sykeston, Missouri, that has calcium buildup around his heart. And, I was just thinking about you and your chelation. See if that worked.
I got to tell you, this has not been approved by the FDA, and a lot of cardiologists don't think it works, but some alternative medical practitioners do. As a matter of fact, I'm under the care here in Los Angeles with a doctor, a medical doctor, who loves it. I have never felt better. I'm 56 years old, and I got to tell you, I feel like I'm 30. And a year ago, I was feeling my age a little bit. I mean, there were some days I was pretty slow, and I think it's working for me. I really do. So I'm anxious to get the results. I'm disappointed that I went through this other test, and it cost like $375. Insurance doesn't pick it up. But it's a number I can't use until like 4 months from now when I get retested on what they call the 64 slice. So, again, that's why next Friday I'm going to get the 16 slice, compare that to my score of 980, and hopefully it'll be down.
Right. I hope it works out real well for you.
All right. And I'll post some info on my website. And by all means, your friend needs to do something. You got to get rid of that calcium.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was taking calcium, additives. And he threw them things as far as he could throw them.
Okay. Well, good luck to him.
All right. Thanks. And, George, just remember this.
Yes, sir.
Wherever you go, there you are.
I like that. Look at the guy's got his own thing. What is that, Danny? His own saying. I like that. And, of course, we're back to full strength. Been so for a couple of weeks. It's a good feeling. Ian Punnett will be doing Coast to Coast Live 6 p.m. until 10. Then we've got Art Bell here on Saturday and Sunday, live from the Philippines. His guest on Sunday will be Ed Dames. It'll be interesting when those two get together to see what Dr. Doom has to say. And as I mentioned, those of you listening to us right now, WMAL-AM in Washington, D.C., beginning Monday, they're going to start the program early with the pre-feed show. It'll start at 10 o'clock. So you get a shot at Coast to Coast from 10 o'clock until 1 a.m., and then the live program from 1 a.m. until 5. Thank you, WMAL. After Dark newsletter, that comes out every month, and they've got a little special going on for you if you like to take advantage of this, where you get 14 issues for the price of 12. You can call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, George.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, I'm a 15-year listener.
Well, thank you.
It's so wonderful to talk to you.
You are a regular. You've been around a long time with us.
I can't go to sleep without listening to you. I love your voice. And Art, too. I wanted to tell you a story. Scared me out of my wits. I used to live in New Orleans, and as you probably have heard, there are many old spirits in New Orleans. I have many, many quote-unquote ghost stories, but this is the one I wanted to tell you. I used to work in a restaurant, a very old restaurant in New Orleans, and I had a boss that was kind of very eccentric, and he was wacko, really. and he got on a religious kick, and when he came back to work, he was sort of filled with the Spirit, and wanted to talk to everyone about his newfound happiness and his religion and everything. And I was working in the kitchen one day, and he walked up to me and grabbed me by the arm, and I knew him very well, known him for years. He says to me, Cindy, that's my name, I would like to show you something. And so he walks me down the hallway to the office, very small office, and he says, I'd like to show you the Spirit of Jesus. So I says, well, okay, I'll humor him. And so I sit down in the chair, and he puts a Bible in my lap, and he shuts the light off. And under the door, there is a rubber, one of those rubber things that blocks out the light completely. So the room was...
Man, you must have been a little weirded out on this, right about
that. Oh, really weirded
yeah.
out. But he was a good friend of mine, so I held his hand, and I go, okay, get this over with, right? So he starts to, quote-unquote, speak in tongues. And he says to me, can't you feel the Spirit? Can't you feel the Spirit? And I says, well, I'm not feeling anything right now, but I want to go back to work.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Get me out of this dark room.
Right. And I don't like the dark. So out of the darkness, I see his hands light up. And I'm feeling his wrist to see if he has a flashlight or something.
Yeah, some kind of
trick.
There's
nothing there. There's nothing there. His hands are illuminating this dull green color.
Okay, so he dipped his hands in phosphorus.
No, he didn't, because you're not going to believe this when I tell you what happened next. The hands lit up, okay, so I let go, because that scared the heck out of me, okay? And then he says to me, I'm going to cast the Spirit of Jesus against the wall, okay? So all of a sudden, this light on the wall where the calendar used to be lights up, and I'm thinking I'm going to see, some of the stuff on the wall. I'm very familiar with it. And no, I don't see any of that. I see this green ball of light, this dull green ball of light, start to rise up and apparently disappear into the ceiling. He turns the light on, and he said, did you see the Spirit of Jesus? And I'm like, well, how do you know it's the Spirit of Jesus?
Right, yeah.
So, well, what's the scary part is I left, I was in shock. He says, don't tell anyone. I'm like, you're right. So 2 weeks later, I noticed that one of our waitresses had left, and we didn't see her anymore anywhere. And I ran into her at a bar, and I says, where have you been? I haven't seen you at work. And she begins to tell me exactly the same story.
And it freaked her out so much?
Happened to me.
She quit.
And it freaked her out so much that she quit. So it not only happened to me, but it happened to someone else. And when I told her that I experienced the same thing, she went screaming out of the bar. And I never saw her again.
And he just brings his employees down there and puts them in this room and does this?
Yeah, well, I guess we're the only two that he could trust or whatever, but... That, I swear that...
Got to be a trick behind it. Well, don't you think?
I cannot figure it out to this day, because it wasn't a bright light. It was a light that appeared gradually.
Almost like it was solid, but obviously it was not.
It was not, because if he had shown a light on the wall, I could see all the familiar things that I...
It had that three-dimensional look to it?
It came from within his hands. It was not, like, shining on his hands.
That's weird.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That is weird. What happened to the guy?
Well, he's still there. He's still at the restaurant there.
Really? It survived?
Yeah.
Hurricane Katrina, huh?
Yeah, well, he was in the French Quarter.
Ah, okay. All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
That is one weird story. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George.
Yeah, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, this is Ray. I'm in Missouri, traveling down US 71 near Harrisonville.
Okay, sir. Be careful.
I had just the opposite happen to me that happened to you. I swear it's the scariest thing. I was driving down the road on U.S. 69 in Oklahoma near Eufaula, and I saw what appeared to be just a blanket laying on the side of the road, like just almost right on the fog line. And as I got right to it, I didn't move over because I thought, well, it's just a blanket. I'll just let it blow in the breeze as I drive by.
Yeah.
And as I got up to it, right within 15 or 20 feet of it, a hand raises up in the air.
Oh.
So I did not stop. I was, I was going about 65 mile an hour, and I just, was a little freaked out, to be quite honest with you. So I just grabbed my phone and called 911.
Yeah, you called it in at least.
I reported it.
Man, you could have run right over him.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a hitchhiker or just a drunk or, somebody that had health problems or somebody that might have gotten hit.
A couple years ago, I'm going home in St. Louis. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on Highway 4064. And if you drive around, you know where that is.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, all of a sudden, I'm looking down this expressway, this freeway, and there is a girl who obviously had gotten into a fight with her boyfriend. Both of them must have been drunk. She is lying down on the freeway, and cars are going right around her. I mean, how they could see her is beyond me. And I did the same thing you did. I called 911, and I said, there's this lunatic girl lying down on the freeway. Someone's going to run right over her.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? They were arguing, and I'm sure he was daring her to do it. But it was one of the most idiotic things I've ever seen.
Sound like a good way to get killed.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for your story.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I got a story for you. I know you like angel stories.
I love angels.
Could be kind of scary. Could be kind of just out of the ordinary. I was riding the commuter train. I was starting to lose my vision, starting to go blind. I was going home one night, coming out of Chicago and getting off at my stop. And there's a little man in the platform, and he's talking about, boy, he says, I don't know. He says, I got to get home because I'm running late. It's been an hour that I had to wait downtown for an extra train, and I got to catch the bus. And I'm standing there, and I'm listening to him, and I was just starting to travel with a cane at the time. And he says, I got to catch this bus. I says, you're going to get off at this one stop? I says, and you're going to catch a bus? I says, hey, I says, the bus has stopped running an hour ago. He says, oh, my God. He says, I'm going to have to walk. Now, it was around beginning of December, starting to sleet, the Midwest weather,
getting cold, yeah.
Yeah, miserable night. And we get off the train, and he says, oh, boy, I'm going to have to. I said, where do you live? And he happened to tell me, he says, well, I live over here near this one intersection. I says, you can't walk from here. I says, there's no sidewalks. I says, you're going to get killed. I says, the way the weather is tonight. He says, well, I tell you what, come out with me. I says, I've got to get a cab. I said, if you can do me a favor, give me a hand. Let's just get around to the other side. They were doing some work on the train station, so we had to go through a side door to get down. I says, I got a cab. You're going to ride with me. He says, no, I can't do it. I says, I won't take no for an answer. Just ride with me. I says, I'm going that way anyway. So the cab comes. We get in the cab. He relates this story, about how his sister was sick and he was out in one of the western suburbs and he missed his train. So we get around to where he was going, and I says, where are you going to go, down the street, side street? He says, no, just leave me off in the parking lot of the store. And I said, well, all right, but I can take you all the way home. And he says, no, this is fine. He says, let me give you some money for the ride. I says, no, I says, not necessary. I says, I'm going this way anyway. So he had these five bills in his hand. It turns out they were like $1 bills.
Oh.
And I says to him, I says, yeah, don't worry about a thing. I says, you're fine. It's Merry Christmas. I says,
good for
on
you.
On me. So he gets out of the car. He says, by the way, he says, we never introduced one another. And I says, no, we didn't. He says, my name is Gabriel. And I told him, my name, we got out and I had a Hispanic cab driver. And he turns around to me and he says, he didn't say that, did he?
I love it.
I says, yeah, he did. Oh, wait, there's more to the story. So we turn around to look to see where he was. He was nowhere to be seen, George.
Just gone.
Gone. Now, the second part of the story, I'll make it real quick for you.
No, that's right. Go ahead.
A few years later, I lost my vision. I was traveling with a guide dog, and I was working overnight on the radio like you do. As a matter of fact, same company that you do.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's here in Chicago.
All right.
And I was going home one Sunday morning, and I was doing everything wrong that a blind person shouldn't do. I mean, I broke all the rules that morning. So I get to the subway, and I'm going down the stairs in the subway, and there's two guys fighting on the subway platform. Now, the dog was relatively new with me, and he wanted to try and get me around the situation. There's a tactile strip right on the edge, and I feel the tactile strip. Now, you know, common sense would tell you that you would move toward the dog because the dog will never go near danger
near
the edge like that.
Exactly.
So I look, you know, I feel this tactile strip. I hear these guys arguing. So what I did was I stepped to the right, and I stepped right off the platform.
Oh.
And I'm in midair, and I'm thinking to myself, you dummy. So I was a little stronger on myself than that. I'm thinking, you dummy, and I hit the ground down right on the rail, on one of the train rails. Now, having had vision, I know what the station looks like, and I know the third rail is on the far side.
And what's the drop, about 3-4 feet?
It's about 4 feet, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there now, and I'm thinking to myself, well, geez, you got to get up out of here. So first I'm listening for a train, and there's no train coming.
Oh,
so
my
good. Okay,
God.
I've got luck. So I stand up now, and I get this L platform, which is just under your armpits. And I kind of yell out, I go, excuse me, and these two guys stop arguing. And they go, what are you doing down there? I says, that's a good question. I says, but the question is, how do I get up out of here?
And fast.
Yeah, and fast. So these two guys come over, and they tried to pull me. I pulled my arms up, and they tried to pull me up. I'm a big guy, okay?
Okay.
So what they did was they couldn't do it. And as a matter of fact, I snapped a tendon in one of my arms. But anyway, there was this other fellow who came by, and he says, you can't be down there. I says, no kidding. So he jumps off behind me. He was like a worker. I've seen him there before. And he gets behind me, and I says, you know, guys, we got to get this to work here real quick. And I says to the two guys, I says, let's try the arms again. And the guy behind me grabbed me around the waist. So on the count of three, I says, let's see, I'll jump, you push, you pull, and we'll see what happens. So bingo, I get up on the platform. And we made it one shot. I'm up on the platform. I'm kneeling now on the platform, kind of dazed and everything.
Yeah, a little exhausted.
Yeah, these guys are saying, you okay? Now finally the transit worker comes and says, you okay? I said, I'm fine. He said, let me call Ambi. I says, no, don't do anything like that. I says, I'm fine. In the meantime, the dog was standing there watching this whole thing.
Yeah, he's not moving at all, is he?
No, and one of the things they tell you to do when you go to guide dog school is if you find yourself in a situation like that, release the dog because you don't want him coming down on you. That's the other thing.
He would follow you down there?
Well, no, he would fall with you if you
oh, he would, yeah,
harness,
hey, that's
you know
true. Yeah. Okay.
So he says, release him. So, you know, that's the first thing I did. This is being my second dog. And I get up on the platform, and my pants are torn, I'm bleeding and everything else, and this guy gets my hat, and he crawls up. No sooner he crawls up, George, you can hear a train coming around the bend.
Oh, my.
From around one of the stops, because this is right on it. This is the first stop in the downtown area as you come off from the northwest side, and the train is coming around a bend to get there.
And, you know, even if they saw you, they can't stop, can
No,
they?
But there is a trick, though. Anybody who ever lives in a city with a subway. So you know this. And this they told me at guide dog school. I didn't even know this living in Chicago all my life. But the platforms have, like, they overhang. And there's, like, a rounded area underneath the platform.
That you can kind of roll into?
Exactly. What it's designed for is for workers. If they can't get up on top, what they do is they scrunch under the train, pulls in, it loads, and then takes off, and then they can come back out from under.
I see.
So what I was always thinking, well, you know, I felt, and sure enough, there was this clearing there and everything, but, you know, you don't want to be in that situation. So anyway, these people are talking to me, and I said, no, and on the other side of the platform comes the train I was waiting for. I got on, I went home. So that I got to tell you, George, somebody had to be with me there.
You know what, and I thought for one moment, too, when you were talking about the transit worker helping
yeah.
you,
yeah,
I thought he was going to leave, and you were going to say, hey, you know, we haven't exchanged names.
Right.
I thought he was going to say, it's Gabriel.
No, but I tell you, George, there had to be an angel that night. Because normally I come down in the morning, and the side I fell on, there's usually two or three trains to my one on the other side.
Man, are there stories of people falling in those things and getting hit?
Oh, yeah, all the time. There's people that I have a friend who works, as a matter of fact, for the Chicago Transit Authority, and one of the things they tell is a scary story for the operators who run these trains are people who are so distraught that they see the train coming, and as the train comes into a station, it's called berthing. And as the person will see the train, and they want to end it all, and they look right in the face of the L operator, and they jump right out in front of them.
So, and he sees their eyes as he's driving. Man.
I'll tell you a funny story, too. If you got a minute, there's a
30. I've got about 40 seconds for you.
Okay, regular commuter train. Talk to a conductor. He says, every time somebody gets hit, they've come out of their shoes. He says, it never fails, every time. And they were telling one story about a guy, he had this so planned, woman, she had it planned so well. There was the last train going out of the city, going back, and he deadheaded back into the city. And they hit this woman around the splains. And after they got back and looked around, there was a lawn chair sitting there. She had a thermos with water in it and a radio listening, waiting for the train to come so she could jump out in front of it.
Jeez.
Hey, thanks for the great entertainment
at night. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
I know when I first came to Los Angeles and I'm working here, it was nighttime waiting for the show to start. I see a whoosh go behind me by my window. I didn't think anything about it. I went back to work. About 10 minutes later, I can see a reflection of flashing lights, fire trucks, EMT lights. I look down. Some woman had gotten to the top of the building and jumped off. And the whoosh is what I saw. It was her. But like this story, she hit and her shoes fell off. That's interesting that that happens. Well, we'll be back in a moment. The third hotline of our trilogy. I'll tell you about that. And then we'll take the rest of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. If you still want to talk about the scariest moment, that's fine. But please don't call that hotline number. I'm going to need that saved for something else.